Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for a snowy Tuesday, March 14th. I'm Ray Graff. With a major storm bringing more than 2 feet of snow and blizzard-like conditions to the majority of our listening area, we want to know what snowstorm experience you have. What's the worst one you've ever been through? What are the strategies you had for riding out that storm? It's a good chance for the old-timers among us to go, are you kidding? Your storms, your so-called storms? I remember in 72, the snow was up to our earlobes. Took 7 of us 4 hours of digging just to get our AMC Pacer out of the driveway. You know, that sort of thing. Well, you can give us a call, 800-348-2551, or don't call. I mean, we'll be on anyway. At this point, it doesn't matter. 800-348-2551. Snow and Alan Chartok will be joining us. Share your stories coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, hundreds of schools from Buffalo to Boston are closed. Authorities are advising people to stay off the roads as a major storm pummels the Northeast. Governor Cuomo has declared a state of emergency for all of New York State. Travel is banned in Broome County. Starting at 4 o'clock, a travel ban will go into effect in Schenectady County. New York has banned tractor trailers from most of its interstate highways, including the entire length of the 570-mile thruway system from New York City to the Pennsylvania border in western New York. In Massachusetts, the speed limit on the turnpike reduced to 40 miles per hour, with more than a foot to 2 feet expected across New York and New England. Forecasters are saying this nor'easter may be one of the worst March storms in decades. In Albany, the biggest March storm dumped 46.7 inches of snow over 4 days in 1888, according to the National Weather Service. That was the old normal. The next highest total came 24 years ago. The two-day storm in 1993 dropped 26.6 inches of snow. So we'll hear your stories today on the show and remember some of your big snowstorms from years past. Our own Alan Chartok joins us from snowy Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and we want to hear from you today. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email this program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. And as we have dispensed with the introduction, let's welcome Alan Chartok. Hi, Alan. How you doing?
How you doing, old pal? Everything all right?
How's the snow in Great Barrington today?
Well, frankly, I have never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. We have a wooden fence around our pool, and I swear the snow is piling up against that fence as if, you know, there was no tomorrow. And so it really is extraordinary. The wind is blowing around like crazy. We have a wonderful Roger Phillips piece of sculpture, which has four things on it, four triangles. And it takes a lot of wind to spin them around at all.
Yeah.
And they're all spinning like crazy.
Yeah, the wind
so
is
it's really
becoming
quite
an issue.
Something.
Emily Masters on Twitter recounted the county snow totals a couple of minutes ago. And
oh, yes.
Albany, 16.8 inches so far. This was as of 10 minutes ago. Schenectady, 10 inches. Rensselaer County, 11. Columbia County, 16.7. Schoharie, 18.5 inches of snow. And I don't know, I was just outside taking the air, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Were you taking the air outside?
I was taking the air. I was keeping an eye on things. They're really doing a good job of keeping the roads clear here in Albany. So I hope they're
anybody
doing the
on the street?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody on the street? Oh, yeah? No, people walking up and down?
Not a lot of pedestrian traffic, but there are cars going up and down the street. What's the biggest storm you remember aside from this one, going years, decades and decades past?
Well,
and your extensive
quite right.
And long, long life.
Right. You are right. I'm very, very old. And as a result of that, I do remember my Uncle Sol had a Studebaker.
Okay.
Remember the Studebakers that looked, the front and the back looked exactly alike.
Yeah.
So you couldn't tell which way was going which. Well, anyway, he had a Studebaker, and my father took my brother Louis and I out, and we were going to help Uncle Sol unbury his Studebaker. He was a doctor, you know, so he had to get out.
Yeah.
And it was over the roof. It was over the
really?
Roof of the car. And so, yeah, so we're talking probably in the 1940s.
Wow.
Don't you see?
I remember the, I guess it was March of 93. 93. Yeah, March of 93, we had a big storm, and I was working in Mount Kisco at the time, and I was doing the morning show, and got there to work at 5, and no one could make it in, so I was on the air for about 18 hours. And then I got done with my shift and headed up. I was living in Brewster and headed up 684. You know 684.
And I know it well.
And they had closed it. And I said, well, gosh dang it, I've got to get home. It's been a long day. So I went on 6. I was the only car on 684. Made it to Brewster.
Even though it was officially closed?
Correct, correct. They call that taking artistic license. And I was the only car on
there.
And
then there's Route 20. There's Route 22, remember that? That goes parallel, right?
Absolutely. So 684, but yep. There was nobody on there, and I made it to my driveway, which was on a hill, couldn't get in the driveway, turned around, went back, and slept at the station. So it was an exercise in futility. Yeah, but the winds, it was a true blizzard, and I guess you have to hit a certain mile per hour limit to really be considered a blizzard, but the snow and the wind and the trees were bending, and I've never seen anything like it. You ready to take a call here, Alan?
Well, it depends on what's on the call. If it's a bad call, I don't want to take it.
Well, it's Stephen in the Berkshires.
Good call, I see no problem.
So if Stephen in the Berkshires, you're in the Berkshires.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything. But okay, let's take a chance.
All right, we'll spin the wheel of fate here. 800-348-2551. Stephen in the Berkshires, you're on.
Yeah, I got a story about the blizzard of 1888.
Well, now wait a minute. You weren't alive then.
No, I'm only 60 now.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Well, when I was a teenager, my family moved to North Adams in a 3-apartment house, and downstairs an old man from Hartleville, they called it, Hartleville. He was a farmer up there in Hartleville. He was 4 years old at the blizzard of 1888, and he remembered it very well because his Alan was talking about the Studebaker that was buried in snow.
Yeah.
Well, his entire farmhouse, barn, everything was buried in snow.
Wow.
He said the snow was 32 feet deep at his farm.
Wow.
The whole house, they had to climb out the second floor windows and start shoveling snow in order to get to the barn. It took them 2 days to get to the barn for the cows.
Holy mackerel.
That's what Archie Ross told me.
Well, that's
he was in his 80s when he told me that.
That's a great story.
Yeah, so I wanted to let you know, there's a blizzard for you.
Yep.
I ain't seen anything like it in my life, I can tell you that.
Hey, Stephen, thanks a lot for that one. Appreciate you getting
no problem.
Appreciate you getting us started on the program today.
That was great.
800-348-2551. So that one meets with your approval?
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good call. And, you know, you do hear the stories about people having to crawl out the second floor and all like that.
Well, 32 feet is, you know, I think over time one tends to exaggerate, right, a little bit?
Well, I was going to say that. I was going to say I didn't want to insult anybody.
Right.
Because, you know, you never know what's what. But I was going to say I think the retelling of these stories gains a foot or two every time it's told.
That said, in the blizzard conditions, I remember as a youth in the 70s, a storm that was
Ute
in the 70s where there was so much blowing snow that literally the crest of the drifts were very near our second floor window. So, I guess it's possible.
Amazing.
In 1888, they got 46.5 inches of snow over 4 days. So I suspect there were some drifts that were 20, 30 feet high.
Whoa.
And you don't remember anything
That's
about
amazing,
that one?
That's amazing, Ray. No, I wasn't alive then, 1888. I think I was born the next year.
Let's go to Kerry in Plainfield, Mass. Kerry, you're on.
Oh, you picked the perfect day for this show.
Well, yeah. But we had to do something.
Anyways, 30, 35 years ago, I cross-country skied up to the summit of Mount Greylock. I believe WAMC has a transmitter up there, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, right, Alan?
Yeah, don't tell anybody. Yeah, right, sure.
But it was very early in the morning, and we had quite a snow and ice storm just prior, the previous day. And when I got up to the top, like I said, it was early in the morning, and there weren't any tracks around from vehicles or other people there. I was the only person up there. And I was shocked to see, and I was told it was 90 feet tall. But the big steel transmitter tower they had, and I think one of the Albany TV stations used that, it was had completely crashed down into the treetops and across the road up there.
Yikes. And,
What year was that?
Well, I'm going to say it was
30
to 35 years ago, Alan.
30 to 35 years ago.
Yeah. I remember once that when the transmitter fell down. I certainly remember that.
When was that? I vaguely remember that, too.
Oh, yeah. I have no spatial ability. In other words, I can't tell whether a student who had me in 1970 was in the same class for somebody who was in 1986.
No, I get it.
See?
Yeah.
Don't you see? I don't remember times. But our official historian, Dave Gallettly, and others, they'll certainly remember when that tower came down, because it was something. And then we had to get it up there again, and we had to do temporary transmission and all the rest of it. Yeah,
well,
you're exactly
maybe
right.
Maybe Dave Gallettly will call in. We'll give him 30 seconds.
Yeah, you never know.
All right.
He's in his retirement years now, so he may be somewhere like in southern Italy.
Okay, that was a shot.
Who knows?
All right, we know that.
It was not.
It was a shot. Nancy in Schenectady is
Why?
On. Nancy, you're on.
Hi, this is Nancy in Schenectady.
Hello.
The man that just mentioned skiing to the top of Mount Greylock. Well, what we like to do in this kind of weather is ski right out our door, right in the city streets. You don't have to get in the car and drive anywhere before anybody gets out with their plows and snow blowers and shovels. You just get right out there and enjoy a very, very, very local ski.
That's nice.
So I hope
That's
a lot
great.
Of people will do that.
Very good. Well, Nancy, thank you for that. You know, I heard on the scanner earlier, and I don't know where it was, one of the municipalities around here, the dispatcher said, well, so-and-so is on his snowmobile going up and down the street to send somebody out there. So you do see things like that. You see snowmobiles and skiing and stuff like that. Hey, Alan, let's take a break here, all right?
You make a good point. Yes, Ray, I'm ready.
Let's grab a cup of warm grog, and we'll be back.
800-348-2551.
800-348-2551. Vox Pop. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Animals in Bronze, the Michael and Mary Erlinger Collection of Animalier Bronzes from the Georgia Museum of Art, arkellmuseum.org. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, custom exhibits, interactive kiosks, and commercial casework for special events, museum installations, and trade shows, empireexhibits.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with Alan Shartok and you at 800-348-2551. 21 minutes after 2 o'clock now on the snowiest of March afternoons I can recall for some time. Alan, I don't know if you saw this one in the news today. You talk about funny stories. This one out of New York City. Two little ponies broke free from the New York City stables today during the storm. An off-duty police officer saw the animals roaming the snowy streets of Staten Island and wrangled them using straps for towing vehicles. He tied the ponies to a lamppost and called for backup. A police car arrived, and the ponies, one Sandy Brown and one Chocolate Brown, were returned safely to their stables. Mayor de Blasio issued thanks to our cowboy officer. The runaways are doing great, Alan.
That's an amazing, amazing story.
Isn't that nice?
It has all kinds of social significance. The police had to call for backup. Backup is good.
Yeah.
You know, for the two ponies.
Doesn't it fill you with warmth, though? On a nice
snowy
day.
It does. Yeah. It does.
It's a human, what we call in newsbiz, a human interest story. This one
you
came
can
in.
Say that again.
This one came in from Michael. Oh, an old WAMC alum. This is less a specific memory of a particular snowstorm than a relation of my father's way of dealing with snow. He refused to buy proper snow shovels and insisted on having my brothers and me, even when we were in grade school, shovel with spades, transfer shovels, and coal shovels, many of which seemed to weigh as much as we did. Suffice to say, it was not very efficient shoveling. Take care and get home safe.
Yeah, now they've got ergonomic shovels, which really work, because I don't have a particularly good back, and I haven't done a lot of shoveling this year, and I got to tell you, they really work. The other thing that people don't talk about a lot, but I find is extremely helpful, is a broom.
I'm sorry?
You know, because a broom, you know, like in Broom County.
Yeah, but why would it be helpful today, on a day like today?
Well, because when the snow, well, don't you see,
no.
when the snow first comes down, it's often very light, and so you know, if you wait like for the next day, then you got to use the shovel.
Yeah.
But you can pretty well use that broom to just, you know, sort of move it away.
Right. So you stay out there all day and continually do that then with the broom?
No, no. You do it once.
They call that
just
curling.
Like you were shoveling.
Okay.
No, I know what curling is.
Well,
If you're too big, you really can't curl that way because, you know, you got to sort of bend over throw that thing.
My brother
so
and
if
I
you
spent.
Were a person,
my brother and I spent about 3 hours trying to fix my snowblower last night. We decided to start about 8 o'clock and didn't quite get it done. So it's in pieces in my garage.
No.
It'll be ready for next winter.
You know, snowblowers are interesting because they make them bigger and bigger and bigger now. You go over to the car hardware or to one of the places like that and you see them. You know, they're gigantic. And you say, oh, and they're self-propelled and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But every time I ever used one, my back hurt more afterwards.
Oh, you didn't get a good one.
Than it did before.
Oh, you didn't get a good one then. I have a big old timer from 78, 79, and it's not working now, yeah. But it'll go through anything.
Sort of like your cars.
Okay.
Sort of like your cars, right?
Thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Beth in Gilderland. Beth, you're on.
Hi, Ray and Alan.
Hi.
No exaggerating here. I grew up in Fulton, New York, north of Syracuse, the great snow belt mid-state. And back in 1966, when I was home on break for college, we had a carport that was at least 7 feet plus the roof. And three brothers and myself and my boyfriend who was staying with me that vacation, we went up on the top of the carport and jumped off into the white fluffy stuff like we've gotten today and kind of sunk into 4 feet of snow, however far we went. And then we had to shovel out of the driveway, and there was at least 6 feet on either side. It made like a hallway.
Yeah.
And I remember, again, you talk about the snowmobiles on the road. That was almost the only way to get out. But people then were in their clunkier skis and their cross countries. And the big, giant dump trucks could barely make it. They had to wait for the people to at least pat the snow down in the street before they could even get through. And that was a most wonderful snowstorm. And my Polish grandmother would sit in her rocking chair at the window, and she would start crying because she thought it was the end of the world. And I can remember her rocking and talking about the bread and the milk and the, well, what are we going to do? It was one of the best storms that we, snowfalls that I can remember as a young adult.
That,
yeah.
That is a great snow belt. My mom used to live out in Cato for years. And so people on snowmobiles, that's the way you got around when the snow really flew.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question.
You're traveling on Route 48 or Route 57 off the thruway there.
Yeah.
And you come to the border, and it's between, Onondaga County and Oswego, and there's a sign to go right to Mexico, and it's right there.
Wow.
It could be snowing on the east, and then you cross that. It could be not snowing on the east, and you cross that border heading to Fulton, and whammo, you're hit with snow.
Well, they should put a wall there right next to Mexico.
Yeah, or a historical site or something like that.
Go ahead, Alan.
I have a question. I have a question, caller. What happened to the boyfriend?
It's been a long time.
Okay.
I smile when I remember those good times. We went our separate ways, of course. Yeah.
Well, Beth, thank you, and I hope Uncle Alan didn't embarrass you at all, but thanks for the call.
Oh, not at all. No, we all have wonderful stories about our romances in our past.
Well, have a
bye
good
bye.
One. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Over to Will in Del Mar. Will, you're on.
Yes, thank you. I just have two comments. I'm a little older than Alan, and I suspect that he's referring to the blizzard of 47 when he dug out the Studebaker. Now, I remember
I think you're right.
School. Yeah, I remember going to school through canyons. I grew up in Poughkeepsie, and it was the snow was pretty darn deep. But my other comment is that I have solar panels, and I love them. I haven't paid electricity since I got them. But they have one disadvantage, and that is the snow comes sliding off the the solar panels, and it falls right on front of my front door and my back glass sliding door. So there is a disadvantage to solar panels.
So, Will, let me ask you. Now, I see them all over Del Mar, too. A lot of people have solar panels. It's big thing. Do you have a warmer in that, or is it just because they are black that they absorb the heat and the snow slides off? Or is there an electric warmer on those?
Well, they do draw a little bit of electricity. That's another disadvantage. When the power goes out, the solar panels don't work. But I don't think they have any heater in them. I think it's just that they're, you know, the installers told me that even in the snow, they would collect the energy because the light gets through the snow. And I think that, you know, because they're so slippery, you know, they're just glass panels.
Yeah.
The, at one point or another, that snow just comes right on down.
That's something.
It scares the daylights out of the cats.
Well, good thing it doesn't hurt the cat. Good for you. Hey, Will, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Alan Shartok has joined us today. It's been a long day, Alan. We had a roundtable this morning. And here we are in the midst still of this storm. The snow continues to fly. Let's go to Jan in North Pownall, Vermont. Jan.
No, it's Jim.
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry.
Jim.
It's okay. Our call screener is shrugging. It's all right.
There's a lawsuit if I ever heard
one.
Well,
no, I mean, it's Jan Murray, right?
I've got a family history story regarding a blizzard. In 1933, on March 12th.
Whoa!
A blizzard hit in Danbury, Connecticut, which is where I am from before I moved to Vermont 35 years ago. And my dad remembers my Uncle Ernie, who lived two doors down, walking on his snowshoes and tapping on his window on the second floor of the house.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's something.
Amazing.
It was the snow was like 20 feet deep. It had drifted up to where my Uncle Ernie could tap on my father's bedroom window.
Well, what year?
1933.
Year was that?
33.
Wow. That's a great story.
It's even older than me.
Jan, thank you very much. Wow. You know, Alan, Sarah LaDuke came in her new snowshoes today. She came to work.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. That's the dedication you have here at WAMC.
Yeah, that is right. That's what it is. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
And Chad in Amherst is next. Chad.
Yes, another family story. My grandmother was born in 88. Reports that there was a big storm the day she was born, which I think it was somewhere in December. So it's the same storm. However, she was born in Virginia. So the Montreal Express or the whatever term they use now, polar vortex, et cetera, that talks about our weather, which is, our climate, which is much different than weather. So it's an encouragement for us to continue to try to make an impact on policy that all summer long was a drought. The predictions on climate change were that if it does storm, there are huge storms. So it was dry then. Now, you know, no snow all winter, and a heavy one now.
Okay.
So keep in mind, this is part of the effects of what's going on, and don't forget to keep in touch with your legislature.
All right, Chad, thank you so much. 800-348-2551. Over to Joan in Albany. Joan, you're on.
Hi. Well, I'm trying to dredge up information on what I recall, and maybe my recollection is faulty, but I was born in the very end of 51, and I remember at about age 7, so it would have been 57 or 58, that there were major, major drifts. I remember getting into these big old cumbersome snowsuits, like the Christmas Story snowsuit where you puffed up like the Stay Puft Man, and going out there and making forts. And the snow of that year, I'm trying to see if anyone recalls, it would have been in approximately 58 or so. The snows were regular and kept piling up to such an extent that, you know, it was way up high and drifts, and we just dug in and made igloos and things. I lived in Niskayuna, and there's a parkway, you know, Lexington Parkway has this parkway in between two streets that you could just go and go to town. We built all kinds of snow forts
well.
And things.
Yeah. Well, great, Joan. Thanks so a lot. So we're looking for information on that one. It could have been 57 or 58.
Yeah. We'll look and see what everybody else remembers.
All right, you know what?
It was a lot of fun.
We're going to go over to Rich in Voorheesville, who may have some information on this one. Rich in Voorheesville, you're next.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Just came back from some snowshoeing with my dog. We've got about 15 inches of snow. I vividly recall that blizzard of 1958. School was closed for a week. There was so much wind. I don't know how much snow there was, but there was so much wind that the drifts were incredibly high. There's pictures of a 48 Plymouth with in a road, local Voorheesville road, with going through snowbanks that are 3 feet higher than the car. Up in the Helderbergs, there was so much wind that the Walters snow blowers, which were just incredible beasts of snow machines, could not keep up with the drifts. And from the Albany County Highway Department, which is about a mile outside of Voorheesville, they were helicoptering hay and kerosene to people up in the Helderbergs because they were just completely shut off.
Now, this is interesting, Rich. As you tell the story of the blizzard of 58, National Weather Service Albany just tweeted, Albany International Airport has tied its record snowfall for March 14th with 12.9 inches. Previous record was set on the 14th of March, 1958. Could it have been the same storm?
Maybe. My memory's not that good.
Yeah, well, anyway, thank you.
It was 58.
Wait. When I have a question for,
okay,
I have a question for Rich.
Sure,
just based
go
on
ahead.
What he said. I want to make sure I got this right. You and the dog were both on snowshoes, or you were on snowshoes, and the dog was walking around?
Nice.
The dog has four-paw drive, so the dog didn't need it.
Four-paw drive. I like it.
That's impressive. Hey, Rich, thanks a lot for the call. Alan, you grew up in the city, right, New York City?
I did. I'm a city boy.
So
96th Street.
Was it all mayhem when this much snow? I mean, it doesn't happen that often in New York City, but when it did happen,
man,
was it just crazy?
No, I don't think so. I think what happened was we had a really, really, really big one. I think, you know, the schools stopped for a little while. But I think people really enjoyed it. At least that's the way I remember it.
It's always fun for kids. The kids who don't have to, my kids are loving it right now. Those of us who have to rake the roof or shovel the driveway, not so much. John in Hoosick Falls. John, you're on.
Hi. I have a story about the blizzard of 1987.
Okay.
So my wife and I had spent the weekend in Block Island doing some bird watching. And so we were pretty much incommunicado. And Sunday morning, we were planning on leaving in the afternoon, but we got up and it was pretty rainy down there. So we took the early ferry and headed up until we hit the Mass Pike. And driving on the Mass Pike heading west, all of a sudden we noticed snow on cars coming from the west heading east.
Mm-hmm.
And this was October 4th. Leaves were still on the trees. Just seemed very strange. By the time we got to the highest point on the Mass Pike, it was snowing pretty hard. There was over a foot of snow. And as we approached the Lee exit, they just shut the Mass Pike down heading west. So he had two lanes of cars for about 5 miles until we got to the toll booth. So the cars, they basically stopped it for about 2 hours. We just sat in the car. And luckily, they figured out they were not going to be collecting tolls, so they just waved all the cars through, which was great. And normally we take the first exit, which is Route 22 going north, but there were tractor trailers jackknifed on the exit, so we couldn't do that. And so we figured, well, we just continue on the Berkshire Spur and then go up into Troy and head back. And we got about another 2 miles, and they stopped traffic again. We listened to the radio, and we found that Hoosick Falls had basically been cut off by trees that were down. All the power was out. Mm-hmm. And eventually, we got home about 7 o'clock that night. No power. That was Sunday. We did not get power restored until Thursday.
Oh, I remember that. Power was out for quite a long time in that one. Do you remember that, 1987, October 1, Alan?
Are you asking me? Yeah. Yeah. I do, and I think that's the when you have a snowstorm with leaves on the trees,
yep,
then you really got a problem. Didn't we have one in May some point?
Probably, but this October one was the one that came out of nowhere. I remember I was at a Pink Floyd
October
show
one.
At the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, and driving back, it was raining. And I got back at maybe 2 in the morning. It was raining. I woke up at 7 the next morning, and power was out, and snow was on. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It was quite
and you didn't have to turn around and go back to the Carrier Dome?
No, you know, that's one thing I did not have to do, but thank you. Tracy in Rotterdam. Tracy, you're on.
Hi there. So, Ray, you'll know this part of the world. We used to keep our horses. We used to show horses when we were kids, and we used to keep them in North Salem.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to do a lot of shows around Connecticut and Long Island, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And I can remember a early spring storm. We were at a horse show, and, of course, it was an indoor ring show.
Yeah.
But there was supposed to be just a little bit of snow, and and this is about maybe 50 years ago, because I'm 60 now. I was probably around 10 when this happened. And so just lots and lots of snow. And it became clear that for everybody that had trucked their horses in on, you know, big tractor trailers and the big box trucks that you see on the highway, nobody was going to be going anywhere. And luckily it was one of the sort of the bigger show barns in Connecticut.
Yeah.
But what happened was basically everybody was snowed in for 2 days, and there were hundreds of horses just stabled, basically sort of tied to anything in the indoor ring. And I could just remember it was like a big party with, you know, all the kids that you could imagine were there, you know. No longer were we worried about competition. We were just worried about having fun.
Yeah.
But then the part that I remember the most was if you have ever seen on the highways, you know, you see the tractor trailers going up and down to Saratoga, and there's a door, like a Dutch door, in the middle of the big tractor trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And the top part can be open. And so that was our job. My brothers and sisters and I, we rode in the back of the tractor trailer with the horses, and it was our job to kind of look out those big windows to make sure that there were no branches down or anything else while the driver was driving. And we were in Croton Falls going around the reservoirs, which, of course, I know you know.
Yep.
And the snow was actually higher than the top of the tractor trailer, and it was literally just this one lane from there all the way back to North Salem. And I just remember that ride taking hours and hours and hours. And to this day, when I see, I'm going to give a shout out because Nikon and Morrissey's Horse Pullmans, they're both in business to this day. I see their trucks. Some of the best drivers in the world are driving these horses around the country. And boy, that guy earned his money that day.
Well, Tracy, we got to take a break here, but thank you so much. Alan Chartok is in the house, and you at 800-348-2551. We reminisce about storms past. Home stretch on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Howard Schaefer Media Marketing, public relations services for print, electronic, and digital media. Howard Schaefer Media Marketing, news development, interview prep. We put you in the news. HSMediaMarketing.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Poughkeepsie Farm Project, working to connect food, farm, and community. Organically grown CSA shares now available for the 2017 season. FarmProject.org. LARAC, Glens Falls, New York, announcing their current exhibit, Prismatic Exploration, through March 17th, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 3, with extended hours every Thursday until 6 p.m. LARAC.org for details. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org.
Mm-hmm. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with Alan Shartok. It's 800-348-2551. Alan, this one came in from Jody in Lee, Mass., who has a family story. January 15th, 1957, I was about to be born, North Shore, Mass. The neighbors rigged up a toboggan in case that I needed to be used to get mother to the hospital. Fortunately, it wasn't needed, but there was a lot of snow that day. That would have been something, right?
Well, you know, yeah, absolutely. You know, Ray, I'm thinking about this because a lot of people have stories, and they're wonderful stories about things when you had major snowstorms. The late Linda Norris, after whom the Linda Norris Auditorium, of course, is named, yeah. or for whom Linda Norris Auditorium is named, lived right near us, and she decided it was a massive snowstorm, and she decided there had to be a snow party, and everybody should bring something. Well, it's the kind of thing you never forget for the rest of your life. You know, you just everybody brought something.
What'd you bring?
And it was quite a feast. I don't remember. Ah. Roselle's really was in charge of that day. Okay. I don't remember what we brought.
All right, fair enough.
But you know, it was great. There was plenty of food, and it was great merriment. We haven't had one of those since that time.
Well, you know, it's tough to even get to a party at this point. I mean, there's so. I don't know if you, have you looked out your window? The snow continues to come down. I don't know about Great Barrington, but outside of the station.
Yeah, we have a lot of, we have more snow than you do.
Oh, really?
Because we always, everything in Great Barrington is better than what you
I
have.
See. So it's a competition is it?
Everything always.
You're going to start a fight?
Always. Everything always is.
All right, let's go to Mark.
Exactly.
Okay, Mark and Ackard. Mark, you're on.
Hey, that's me. Okay, I have to go back to the 1970s.
Yeah.
And I'm an orderly in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fellow I'm taking care of. His name is William Stafford. And he's blind, and he's got a pretty good memory for the past. And he's working at Remington Arms in New York State.
Yeah.
And he's telling me they lived on a farm, and he's telling me about the snow of 1888. Which was only interesting in as much as he's a very, very old blind man.
Right.
And a day didn't go by where I'm working with him that he didn't tell me about the snow of 88.
Well,
and
I mean,
about the danger to the cows. And I didn't believe how deep the snow was. I guess they used to tie a rope to find their way from the barn back to the house.
Wow.
That's just a little moment in time that the show took me back to it.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Mark, the amount of snow they had between March 11th and March 14th, 1888, was almost twice as much as the next highest amount, which was from 1993. They had 46.7 inches in 1888. That's a lot of snow, and I guess really was burned into a lot of people's memories. Let's go to Lottie.
How many times is 12 going to 48?
Four times, sir.
Feet,
four
right?
times.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was just seeing if you knew.
Thank you. Well, I am in radio, but right. I can do simple math.
Four feet. That's high. It's almost as tall as I am.
Let's go to Lottie in Claverick. Lottie, you're on.
yes. I remember the most severest winters in southern Germany in 1941 and 42 when I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed every day there were horse-drawn, three horses who drew a wooden snowplow through town on a regular basis. And the snow stacked up beyond my mother's kitchen window, which was about 10, 15 feet high.
Wow.
There were there was never any cancellation in the school. Girls did not wear traditionally slacks in those days. We had to wear dresses.
No.
I was just going to say, in PS 75, where I went, on West End Avenue and 96th Street, that's correct. Girls were not allowed to wear pants. And if they wore pants in the freezing, freezing weather, they had to wear skirts over them.
That's right. But we were not even. We had hand-knitted long socks.
Mm.
all the way up, stockings, and it was like going to school in a tunnel, because our house door, we dug through it to get to the sidewalk, which was like a narrow path between the mountain of snow and where the horses drew the snow plows. And it really felt like you were walking in tunnels.
Wow.
Essentially. Yeah.
And you still remember. Just...
Oh, my goodness. You never forget. It was World War II in Germany when I lost an uncle who died in Russia, military. There was the most severest European winters that of memory, really.
Well, Lottie, we so appreciate you calling us today, and thank you very much for that. Our number is 800-348-2551. And who's been waiting longest? Jim in Ballston Spa has been waiting longest. Jim, you're on.
Yes, another rooftop story. I was just coming home, just been separated from the Seabees, the Navy Seabees, 1970 January, came from sunny downtown Da Nang to a snowstorm that was going on. And I forget how I got all the way out to Selkirk, but I hitchhiked with somebody and got left off near the house. And I walked up the driveway and was able to climb up a snowdrift and get up to the roof, and went and banged on a upstairs window. And after a while, my sister came and opened it up and let me in.
Wow. I think that's the one I remember from 1970. I was 5 years old, and we were right in that Selkirk neck of the woods. And I remember the snowbanks being up to the base of our second floor window. Yeah. That was a huge one.
And since it was a snowdrift, it was pretty well packed, and I was actually able to climb up the thing.
Wow, it's amazing. Yeah. Well, Jim, thank
you.
And
now I'm sitting here anxiously awaiting the wind to stop so I can get out with my old Gravely snowblower and clean my quarter-mile-long driveway.
A good snowblower, and again, mine's from like 1978, but unfortunately I pulled the rope out, so we were trying to fix that last night to no avail. In other words, we got all the things apart, but we couldn't quite make the spring work again. So it's shoveling
that
for us.
That's a bit of a trick.
Yes, it is on the old machines.
My old Gravely, though, has a strap to start it, so you just wrap it around and yank on it, and away you go.
Hey, well, good luck, Jim, and thanks for the call. Alan, who's clearing your driveway? Is Roselle doing that?
Well, actually, it's funny that you ask, because we have somebody who plows. We have a fairly extensive circular driveway, and the guy comes and he does it. From the driveway to the house and to our little cottage, which we have, that needs to be shoveled. And unfortunately, with this very bad ankle of mine, Roselle has to do all the work.
It's a perfect excuse. You literally can't do anything about it. No guilt for you, sir.
Well, actually, I do feel plenty of guilt. And if I don't, then there are subtle ways that people can let you know that they have done something significant. If you catch my drift.
Those of us who are married catch your drift very, very well. Daisy in Holyoke is next. Daisy, you're on.
Hi. Well, I remember, I'm about Alan's age, so I remember two significant blizzards. One was the blizzard of 47, lived in the suburbs of New York City. And
that was the Studebaker storm.
That was really a blizzard. I remember that, of course, we didn't have snowblowers in those days, and my uncle and my father getting out with snow shovels and shoveling the whole driveway, and my sister and me tunneling into the sides and making snow caves.
Yeah.
My dad he worked in New York, and he went to the commuter train in Larchmont on skis.
Wow.
Because it was everything was just socked in for about a week.
That's amazing.
And then I was
the Larchmont Tech The Largemont taxi didn't even work, huh? I remember the Largemont taxi, right? Do you remember that? Because that used to go from...
What?
Used to take...
Largemont taxi.
The Largemont taxi.
Oh, no, nothing was working. He had to ski down to the train station and leave his skis in the, you know, in the baggage claim area. But I remember the 78 blizzard in Boston.
Yeah.
I was living right near Jamaica Pond in Jamaica Plain, and it was snow so windy that the wind completely scoured the snow next to the house and then built up a 6-foot drift in front of the garage and completely buried one of my roommate's cars. We couldn't find her car at all. Wow. And we went out skiing and skied right over the tops of Volkswagens. You could just see the antennas peeking up through the snow.
Well, that's cool because they're kind of like slopes. You go right down, you get a little shushing in. Hey, Daisy, thank you for that one. 800-348-2551. Carl in Greenfield, Mass. Carl, it's your turn.
Gentlemen,
hi.
It's so nice to hear you two getting along. I just have to say that.
We always get along.
Oh,
who
I know.
Who said we get along?
This is about the 93 March blizzard, 1993, and I was with like 7 other people. We were trying to get a flight out of Bradley Airport to Detroit to go to the UAW Training Center out in Black Lake, Michigan, and we got stuck. We missed the last flight out, so Bradley was deserted. And we managed to get a hotel room at the airport, but the place was deserted. I walked up to the National Weather Service, which was upstairs there, and I was able to knock on the door, and they let me in, which would not happen today. And I think it was Mike Carbone. This was back when people actually used to talk on the National Weather Service radio. They had actual people instead of robots.
Yep.
And they gave me a printout of the storm from my buddy Sid, who was also a weather fan, and it was just pretty cool. And then after 9/11 happened, I stopped once down in Taunton, Mass., where there's another weather service center, and boy, it was like the security had just gone crazy. But that was quite the fun thing to be in that little blippy weather service at the airport place.
How much snow do you think you have right now, Carl?
Yeah. Oh, I would say about 15 inches here in Greenfield.
That's pretty good. Now, go ahead, Alan.
I was just going to say how important the weather is to so many people. You know, they know it at the weather channels and at the local, you know, Channel 13, Channel 6, Channel 10. They know people really care about the weather, right, Ray? I mean, you know,
absolutely.
As opposed to, let's say, you know, the Affordable Care Act.
People like the weather.
It's something we can all agree on.
Hey, you make a point. Hey, Carl, thanks a lot. Let's try to get another one or two in here before we get out of here, Alan. Laura in East Greenbush. Laura.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Sure.
Yeah, hi. Oh, I just wanted to talk about the with Thanksgiving, and it had to be 70 to 72. There was a huge storm, big blizzard, snowstorm that took the entire East Coast power grid down. That might have been the 72 one that everyone was talking about. I just remember that day all the power went out.
For how long, Laura? Because, I was wondering how long. I was 7 or 8 at the time, and I remember the huge Thanksgiving storm in the early 70s. But I don't remember, how long was the power out?
I'm not really sure because I was probably about 13 at the time. What I do remember was that it went down mid-morning, and my parents sent my brother and I out with sleds through the entire neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we were told to pick up whatever anyone was in the middle of cooking, pick up babies, pick up whatever had to be picked up, and tell all the neighbors to come to our house because we had a very huge fireplace that we could cook in.
Yeah.
The whole neighborhood ended up showing up. We walked through drifts. I don't know how we did it, but we got everybody there. A lot of the people I didn't really know well unless they had kids, but we all pooled together in my parents' home, and we had the best Thanksgiving ever.
Oh, that is so great.
The whole neighborhood showed up, and they stayed the whole night. I don't know how long it was down after that, but I just remember that.
There you go, Alan. That sort of gets to the snow party you were talking about.
Yeah, the Lyndon Norris party. That's right.
Well, Laura, thank you very much. All right, Alan, what are your plans for the next hour or two as far as hunkering down here for the snow?
Well, I don't get any choice, you know. They got me lying on a couch with my foot up, my ankle up in the air. So I have to stay here no matter what.
Just looking out the window?
Actually looking at gun smoke on my large screen TV. I've seen them all so many times, I could literally do the dialogue as the thing is going on.
Well, that's a great idea for a Vox Pop right there. You can recreate gun smoke.
Yeah.
On second thought, I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's nothing like it. Gunsmoke and MASH were the best two television shows ever done.
Well, Alan, we are out of time. I can't thank you enough for joining us today. That was fun, right?
Oh, I had a great time.
It was
really
fun.
Really good.
It was. You know what? When you repeat it like that, then I'm not sure if you're actually sincere.
No, I had a really.
All right, let's call it. Before,
I had a really good time
before anything bad happens. Alan, thank you for being here. Support comes from Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design, and development and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in a brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. The Black Sheep Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Thanks again to my buddy Alan Chartok for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for all the great stories. Sorry we didn't get to more. We left the lines fully loaded here. And we appreciate you joining us for this hour during the middle of the snowstorm. It's still going on for most of the region. So if you are on the road, take it easy. Better yet, if you can, stay home. Stay with WAMC. We'll keep you posted. And tomorrow, assuming the world has not ended, we'll have another Vox Pop around 2 o'clock. Right now, though, stand by for news.